We've been in a couple of Wednesday nights in the book of Daniel. Been talking about men who would not compromise. And we're going to pick up on that again today. Men who would not compromise. We need to think about that. In this day of compromise and letting up and letting go, we need to stand true to God. Let God help us. Let's look at verse number 6 and 7, please. Stand while we read the Word of God. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And let me stop there to say this, that for those who have just come in and not familiar with the book of Daniel, the Babylonians have taken some captive and taken them down to Babylon. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were taken down into that land. Look at verse number 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs he might not defile himself. Then you find in chapter 3 how that the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wouldn't bow to the idol that the king had made. You find in chapter 6 that Daniel himself wouldn't quit praying when the decree was made and went into the den of lions, but God delivered and gave great victory. These men would not compromise. And we've been talking about that. I want us to bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Then I try to bring you a brief message today and pray that God will take it and speak to your heart and help all of us that we might be strengthened through the preaching of the Word of God. Our Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand here in the power of the Holy Spirit and try to preach. I realize outside of that power, we can do nothing. And so I ask God for the direction of the Holy Spirit in our minds and touch our tongues. And I pray that you make it real to hearts and speak to every life. And Lord, help us share those thoughts that you'd have us to share. May we stand in the boldness and yet in compassion. And may we preach as you'd have us to preach today and touch hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray in this congregation of people today that you touch those that's lost. May conviction be real, show them their need of a Savior. I pray they'd want to repent and get saved. I pray for those who may be stranded and falling afar off. You touch them, those that may be discouraged, those that need help. And I pray in these days you'd help. Then, Lord, I think of those who are away today. Some are sick and some away vacationing and whatever. I pray you'd watch over and care for and bring back soon. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you and give you all the glory for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we talk about these men that would not compromise, remember too, not only were these men that would not compromise, they were young men. They were not seasoned men of old, but young men, but they knew God, and they maintained that knowledge of God and cultivated that knowledge of God and stayed with God through all of it. And we talked about the book of Daniel, about the historical part, the prophecy part, and surely there's some great prophecy in the book of Daniel. Some have said in chapter 2 is one of the greatest chapters in all the scripture to show the cover all of the Gentile rule of the world as it is in the day. We'll talk about that sometime if God will let us do so. But today we're dealing with this men that would not compromise. We talk about prophecy fulfilled. Then we begin to talk about personal trials that these men went through and what God did for them. I mentioned to you briefly a while ago about some things they were delivered from and what they did. But there's four things I started on Wednesday night telling you about these men that are important and things that were new to them, yet they had their heart fixed. They knew that the God of heaven, they knew that they were there and that God was still God no matter where they were. They were in a new place. God had put them in a new place. They allowed it to happen. I know the Babylonians had come in, taken them away. But God allowed that to happen. And God allows things to happen in our lives. But remember this, that whatever God allows, if we're following God, He's still the same God no matter where we are. Amen. He does not change. He's the same God. And then we talked about the knowledge. They were being taught new things. They were being taught a new language. They were being taught a new culture. And they were going through all of that, but yet they knew who God was and that God had not changed, and they maintained that knowledge of God and their love of God, their worship of God. And didn't make any difference about what they were taught about the Chaldean language nor their culture. They knew the God of heaven. And then they had a new diet. Or they tried to put them on a new diet. They asked to be requested not to be on it, and I praise God for that. They did not want to defile themselves, and so they would not eat of the king's meat nor drink of king's wine. And we talked a little bit about that and talked about wine particularly. Let me say again, it's always wrong. It's fermented, that is. And grape juice, good for you. And fermented wine, bad for you. Amen. Let that stand as it is, because the Bible said not to look on the wine when it's red, move itself to the right in the cup. That means when it's fermented. And so we realize the tragedy of strong drink. But then we talk about their names. And that tonight, today, we want to deal with. And I pray that God would help us. And I certainly cannot deal with their names in any kind of an exhaustive way. But I can try to at least give you a little bit about them and think it'll help us as we look at their names that they were given as well as the names that they already had. And, of course, they had Hebrew names, and then they were given Chaldean names, and they tried to change them through that. But I don't care what somebody calls you. You remember your special name with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. Amen. They were called Christian first at Antioch. They were named that because they were Christ-like. And they talked about Christ. And they maintained their faith that Christ was the only way to heaven. And they stood for that. And so they were called Christians. And somebody sometime wrote something about, if you were tried, would you be convicted as a Christian? If you were put on trial and you had to stand in somebody's court, could they convict you of being a Christian? I pray that God would help us, our lives may be lived as such that we would be convicted to being Christian. Amen. But let's look at their names and talk about that for just a little bit. And I pray God will help us do that. God will touch us to do that. And look at Daniel. The word Daniel, the name Daniel, means God will judge. God will judge, or else it means God is my judge. And fact is, it means both. God will judge, and God is my judge. But Belteshazzar means that Baal will protect. Now, the world will tell you that the God of this world is our protection. But let me say to you today that God is our judge. The world may look at us, and they may try to judge us in certain things. But you remember this, God is our judge, and God will be my judge and your judge. And in this name, and talking about Baal, of course, Baal you read about throughout the scripture in the Old Testament as being a false god, and he can't protect you. And the world will tell you that the government can protect you or something else can protect you. But let me say to you today, there's not but one that can protect you, and that's God. He's the only one. Amen. I'm glad he's my rock and my shelter. Amen. When my heart's overwhelmed, leave me that rock. That's higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me. He's my rock. But let's deal with that guy. And I want to deal with Daniel, being as his name, meaning God is my judge. Now, he talked about judgment of God. I talked about chapter 2 in the book of Daniel. It tells about the great image, and of course, it tells in history of the Gentile world power, but how the stone's cut out with our hands, and it's ground to powder, and it's going to come to an end. And you can rest assured God's word will be fulfilled. Amen. Fact is, God's word's being fulfilled in our very day, and before our very eyes, God is fulfilling his word. But I want you to know today that God is going to judge and is judge, and he always will be the judge. He's the final judge. I think sometimes we live our lives thinking that we're going to heaven. That's good to think about going to heaven. I praise God that heaven's real. I'm glad I'm going to a place where there won't be any graveyards. I'm glad I'm going to a place where there won't be any hospitals. I'm glad there won't be ever any sickness nor sorrow. I'm glad for all of that. Praise God for that. I thank God for it. But I tell you, we have to meet Jesus Christ personally one day. And we all are judgment-bound people. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And when the rapture takes place, before we ever go to the marriage supper, and before we ever come back to rule and reign with him, we're going by the judgment seat of Christ. Somewhere in the air there will be a judgment seat, and every saved person will go by that, and we'll give an account to God. I be honest with you, today there's something frightful about that to me. There's something about that that I think very seriously and soberly about. And I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. I'm looking forward to eternity with him and then all the bliss of it. But facing Jesus Christ personally as my judge, there's something about that that makes me tremble. There's something about that that causes me to think and tremble and say, God, I need some help. Now, you may take it lightly and say, well, all my sins were judged at Calvary. That's right. All of our sins were judged at Calvary. And we're not going to be judged about that. They're taken care of at Calvary. But at the judgment seat, the Bible says it's required of men that we be of stewards, that a man be found faithful. And let me say to you, as saved people, we're stewards of God. We're to carry on the work of God. God has given us that responsibility. And so carrying on the work of God, then we're responsible to God. And someday I will give an account to God. I'll have to answer to God for my Christian life. I'll have to meet Jesus Christ. And there at the judgment seat, answer to him for my faithfulness or how I failed to be faithful. And I'll have to answer that to him. I tremble about that. I realize there's times I could have done more for him. I realize there's times I could have witnessed more for him. I realize there's times I could have done more and given for him. I realize there's times I could have done more in helping out the service, as it were, praying and being ready for the service. I realize there's a lot of things I'm going to have to face Jesus Christ with. Now, I realize sin's under the blood. Don't get me wrong. I want you to understand that. But we're facing Jesus Christ to either receive rewards or else lose rewards. And the Bible talks about in 1 John 2:28, and now little children abide in him that when he shall appear, that we may be found faithful, not be ashamed before him at his coming. I don't want to be ashamed when I stand there. I don't want to stand before him and be ashamed and hang my head and be ashamed of my life as a Christian. Do you? Do you want to be ashamed when you stand before Jesus? I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to stand before him and hold my head up. I pray God to help me. And I realize it's not shouting ground. I realize it's not something going to cause us to rejoice a whole lot. But I think there's times that we need to pull up and be sober thinking and be challenged about. And we all need to know the truth. If I just preach to you, everything's positive. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Everything's fine. You'll let up in your Christian living. I'll let up in mine. But I want you to know someday we have to face Jesus Christ and give an account to him. And you can fool the pastor. You can fool the deacons. And you can get away with a lot of stuff. But when we stand before Jesus, we're going to stand there and give an account to him. And you can't fool him. And our preaching, our teaching, our singing, our witness, whatever we do, we ought to do it because we love him. Amen. Not because somebody's going to pat us on the back, and not because somebody's going to give us some money, and not because somebody's going to say what a great job you did and build you up, make you feel good, and all of that kind of stuff. Now, we all like that. No use lying about it. I like people pat me on the back and say, you did a good job. Amen. You have to watch it make you get proud. Of course, after I get through the day, probably won't anybody say anything, but it'll humble my heart. That'd be good for me. Amen. But I'm telling you that we're going to have to face Jesus and give an account to him and answer to him for our faithfulness or our unfaithfulness. And so I pray that God would help us today and challenge your heart. Daniel ought to be a challenge to us to be faithful. Daniel was faithful even in the worst of circumstances, in a different place, a different knowledge, and a different diet, and a different name, but he still was faithful to God. I say hallelujah, we ought to be faithful to God. Belteshazzar, that name, throw it out, amen. Baal can't help you, Baal can't protect you. That's just something they tried to throw on Daniel, but he knew better. He knew God was his help and God was his judge, and so he lived his life according to that. You remember what Joseph did when he was tried and Potiphar's wife was trying to get him? He said, God forbid that I sin against God and against my master. He said, first of all, I don't want to sin against God. He knew God was his judge. Let's look at the second one. I've got to hurry up. We're going to get through here today, but I want you to look at the second name, Hananiah. And Hananiah was named Shadrach. Now, Shadrach, now, if you read commentaries, you'll read there's a whole lot of different meanings given about that name. And it comes from the name of a goddess, so it meant the goddess of the earth or the goddess of, Got another name for that. Isn't the goddess of the sun or the moon, heavenly bodies. And forget the other one. We'll get to it in a minute. But this is Shadrach. It's the one, a god of the sun or moon. They worship that. They worship the sun. They worship the moon. And they did that. But Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious. That's grace of God. And we're all saved by the grace of God. And let me say that it's you today. I know we have to have the sun shine in the heavens, and we have to have the moon. It reflects the sunshine and all that. But I know we have to have that. But I can tell you right now, when we leave here, we can do without the sun, and we can do without the moon, but you can't do without the grace of God. It is the grace of God. I was talking in my young convert class a day about being saved by grace through faith. And grace gives me what I don't deserve. Mercy keeps me from getting what I do deserve. I deserve to go to hell. Mercy keeps me out of hell. And grace takes me to heaven. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Aren't you glad God is gracious? Amen. Jehovah is gracious. That's what Hananiah means. But they named him Shadrach and said command of the sun god or moon god, or different commentaries mention different things about it, but it had to do with heavenly bodies. And by the way, I'm plugging this in right here. If you read the horoscope to find out what's going to happen in your day, I pray God to help you to repent. Amen. I remember my father-in-law one time talking about somebody said the moon wasn't right to plant beans or potato, what it was to plant. He said, I'm not planting them on the moon. Amen. I realize they sign all that. But let me tell you one thing. However the stars line up don't affect me one bit. Hey, you're welcome. Amen. I don't care how they line up. If you miss a line or whatever. Somebody said, what sign was you born under? I'm born under flag. Amen. I'm born in America. What sign was you born? I'm born in a Christian nation. I'm born a Christian parent. I say hallelujah. That's the sign I'm born under. Amen. Forget all that rest of that stuff. You're welcome. Now, some of you read it every day. Find out how your day's going to go. And they'll lie to you. They just make it all up as they go. And you don't need to pay a bit of attention to it. Amen. If you ever get a squeegee board, throw it out. I don't even know what it is, to tell you the truth about it. I just heard about it. I have no idea what it even means. I know it has something to do with you're supposed to find out something. I probably didn't even say it right, but I see y'all laughing, so I probably messed that up too. But that's all right. Good preaching anyhow.
Amen.
Whatever that thing is. Amen. I don't mess with it, so I don't know. I'm not even ashamed that I don't know. Amen. And whatever it is, y'all can have a good time with me preaching. Amen. At least we get a good laugh. But I'm telling you tonight, I keep saying tonight. I don't know why I'm wanting to preach at night. But it's daytime. It may be night and I get through, but it's right daytime right now. And I'm telling you, we don't need all that other stuff. And you just need God to help you. He's gracious and he's God. He can help us see us through. And you don't need all the rest of it. Amen. Yeah, sun has to shine, moon has to shine. But God's in control of that. You know why the sun shines? Because of the grace of God. You know why the moon holds the tides back in the ocean? Because of the grace of God. You know why you're saved? The grace of God. You know, hallelujah. I'm glad for the grace of God. That's what helps us. Amen. But let's look at the third one. Hananiah, and then we come to another one's given to us. Look there in verse number 6 says Mishael, and then talks about that name being called Meshach. Now, Mishael means who is like God, and Meshach is that one that is like the goddess of this earth, or the Venus god, or the what it is sensual goddess. And that's what it has to deal with. But I'm glad God contrasts these two. I'm glad I don't have to be like Meshach. I can be like Michelle and be like who is like God. And you say, preacher, you trying to say you're like God? And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. Amen. We're supposed to be God-like.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Man was created in the image of God, and then man fell, sinned, and messed up his spiritual life. But I'm glad when Jesus comes in, he gives us spiritual life back to us, and we're born again, quickened by the Holy Ghost of God, and made alive in Christ. Amen. And so now, I don't have to live sensually. I can live by the grace of God. I can live and be like him in the sense that I love the things he loves and hates the things he hates. If you love what the devil loves, then you must be pretty close to the devil. And if you love what God loves, you must be pretty close to God. Amen. God loves sinners. Amen. And we all love sinners. And God loves this Bible. We all love the Bible. And God loves the church. He gave himself for it. And we all love the church. Amen. And God, well, I can go on with that thing, but I'm just telling you, praise God, who is like God? I'm not like God in the fact I'm sinless, but I do want to be separated from the world. Amen. And be a testimony of the saving grace of God. I say hallelujah and amen. And this sensual living, boy, we got all kinds of sensual living going on today. And we got all kinds of goddesses of the day. And our world is getting soaked in. But let me tell you young folks something. Hey, something better than what the devil's got.
Amen.
Live for God. Hey, live a godly life. You're made to live like God wants you to live. Live for God. Have a testimony of the saving grace of God and forget all this other junk. That drugs and drink and alcohol and sex and all that just leads you down a road you don't want to go. Mess up your life. And I see young folks sitting in here and around the house. I say praise God for young folk. On the love of God, live for God. Have a testimony of the saving grace of God. And remember God's first place.
Amen.
And put God first. He's your judge. You remember that. Let me wind it up real quickly, please, of Azariah. And Jehovah is my helper. And then Abednego means a servant of the fire God. I want you to know today, thank God that God is my helper. Oh, I'm glad for his Hebrew name. God is my helper. And the fire, they worship the fire too, and they make their children pass through the fire, all that kind of stuff. But, oh, listen, we don't have to do that. God's our helper. God's our helper. You today say, preacher, I'm going through an awful time. Let me report to you, God's our helper. God's our helper. And I recorded a verse of scripture a while ago. when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me. And boy, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we most commonly know them, but for Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, I'm glad, thank God, they knew God, maintained their integrity. They kept their heart fixed on God. And no matter what they offered them to eat or drink, no matter what came their way, no matter where they housed them, no matter what they did to them, they still live for God. And I believe we should too in this day. And I preached a message back some time ago, for such a time as this. And I thought I'd like to live back in Spurgeon's day. I remember back in revival days. And I remember some days when people would come to church, sinners would come. And people would get saved in revival meetings and all of that. We'd have a great time. And Linda, you remember that back in Clayton. Boy, we'd have a time. Hallelujah. I remember back and shout on it just thinking about it. But we got the same God today that they had back in. Problem's not God, problem's us. Amen. But I'm glad today we can have our hearts fixed on God. And we can have some of that same thing in our lives and have the joy and the peace. And that thrill knowing God. And no matter what the day brings, no matter what the world does, no matter what the president does, no matter what Congress does, no matter what Iran does, no matter what anybody does, we can still have God. We can still live for God by His grace and by His help. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus. Help us, I pray today, that we'll want to maintain our integrity and have our hearts fixed. Lord, You exalted Daniel. You exalted these three Hebrew children. You used them mightily. They stood the test. And You delivered them because they wouldn't compromise. God, help us not to compromise in these days. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the cross of Calvary. I'm glad for the blood that was shed for our sin. I'm thankful for the resurrection. Now, Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. In this invitation, I pray the Holy Spirit do His work in hearts that need help. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.